inside us. Show us your ways. Show us your ways. Sent by your Spirit, called by our names, beloved companions, beloved friends. Kyrie eleison, Christe.
So after 25 years in ministry, I thought maybe I had seen everything, but this is a new one. Friday night, we learned that all Anglican churches in the diocese, and in fact in the ecclesiastical province, are closed. And suddenly, how do we do worship for everyone? Well, this is an interesting way. Via an audio file, we have put together a team of Steve and Paul and Paul and John and Hannah and myself. And we are going to worship and allow you to eavesdrop. So we begin, or continue, perhaps I should say, with music.
Shall rise, and all thy day be bright. Almighty God, whose Son, Jesus Christ, gives the water of eternal life, may we always thirst for you, the spring of life and source of goodness, through him who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. A reading from the book of Exodus. From the wilderness of Sin, the whole congregation of the Israelites journeyed by stages, as the Lord commanded. They camped at Rephidim, but there was no water for the people to drink. The people quarreled with Moses and said, "Give us water to drink." Moses said to them, "Why do you quarrel with me? Why do you test the Lord?" But the people thirsted there for water. And the people complained against Moses and said, "Why did you bring us out of Egypt to kill us and our children and livestock with thirst?" So Moses cried out to the Lord, "What shall I do with this people? They're almost ready to stone me." The Lord said to Moses, "Go on ahead of the people and take some of the elders of Israel with you. Take in your hand the staff with which you struck the Nile and go. I will be standing there in front of you on a rock at Horeb. Strike the rock, and water will come out of it, so that the people may drink." Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. He called the place Massah and Meribah, because the Israelites quarreled and tested the Lord, saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?" The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout for joy to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before the presence of the Lord with thanksgiving and raise a loud shout to God with songs. For you, O Lord, are a great God, and a great sovereign above all gods. In your hands are the caverns of the earth, and the heights of the hills are yours also. The sea is yours, for you made it, and your hands have molded the dry land. Come, let us bow down and bend the knee, and kneel before the Lord our Maker. For you are our God, and we are the people of your pasture, and the sheep of your hand. Glory to the Creator, the Christ, the Holy Spirit, three in one, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Jesus came to a Samaritan city called Sychar, near the plot of the ground that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired out by his journey, was sitting by the well. It was about noon. A Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." His disciples had gone to the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask a drink of me, a woman of Samaria?" Jews do not share things in common with Samaritans. Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you the living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have no bucket, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us the well, and his sons and his flocks drank from it? Jesus said to her, everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again, but those who drink of the water that I will give them will never be thirsty. The water that I will give will become in them a spring of water gushing up to eternal life. The woman said to him, sir, give me this water so that I may never be thirsty or have to keep coming here to draw water. Jesus said to her, go call your husband and come back. The woman answered him, I have no husband. Jesus said to her, you are right in saying I have no husband, for you have had five husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband. What you said is true. The woman said to him, sir, I see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you say that the place where people must worship is in Jerusalem. Jesus said to her, woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will worship the Father, neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is here, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father seeks such as these to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. The woman said to him, I know that Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will proclaim all things to us. Jesus said to her, I am he, the one who is speaking to you. Just then his disciples came. They were astonished that he was speaking with a woman, but no one said, what do you want, or why are you speaking with her? Then the woman left her water jar and went back to the city. She said to the people, come and see a man who told me everything I have ever done. He cannot be the Messiah, can he? They left the city and were on their way to him. Meanwhile, the disciples were urging him, Rabbi, eat something. But he said to them, I have food to eat that you do not know about. So the disciples said to one another, surely no one has brought him something to eat. Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to complete his work. Do you not say, 4 months more, then comes the harvest? But I tell you, look around you and see how the fields are ripe for harvesting. The reaper is already receiving wages and is gathering fruit for eternal life, so that sower and reaper may rejoice together. For here the saying holds true, one sows and another reaps. I have sent you to reap that for which you did not labor. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labor. Many Samaritans from that city believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me everything I have ever done. So when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of his word. They said to the woman, it is no longer because of what you have said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is truly the Savior of the world, the Gospel of Christ.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be now and always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. What I want to share today brings together several aha moments for me over the years. Our first reading was from Exodus, one of the five books of the Torah, the first five books of the Old Testament. Also, the linchpin or the center of the Hebrew or Jewish scriptures as well. But it could also be from the book of Numbers. The story we heard is one of three stories in Exodus that are also found in Numbers. The difference is that the surrounding material is different. The three stories are all about the same thing, about the children of Israel who have been rescued from Egypt and were moving through the wilderness with Moses, were not happy. Things were just not right. They weren't getting things the way they wanted. It wasn't easy. It was difficult. So first they came along to a spot and they thought they'd found water, and they found that the water was sour. So Moses ended up throwing a stick in, and by the power of God, the water was made sweet. And then, of course, the Israelites were hungry and wanted to know that why Moses had taken them and God had taken them out into the desert so they could starve to death. And that comes with the quail and the manna, the stories we all know. And then there's this story where there again was no water. And again, the Israelites are complaining. And Moses uses his staff on the rock, and water flows forth. So, as we can see, these three stories are common to two books of the Torah, not unlike some of the stories in the Gospels are alike, and some are different. Some are found in all four Gospels. Some are found only in the three Synoptic Gospels. Others are found in only one or two Gospels. And as there is an understanding of how the Gospels developed in conjunction with one another, there is somewhat an understanding of how the Old Testament, specifically the Torah, the first five books of the Bible, developed over time. The interesting thing is that while many years ago we would have had a theory that most would have accepted, we're now past that theory and into other theories. But the general understanding is that each of the two kingdoms, the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom, yes, Israel divided, had their own story, their own passed on traditions that had come down for years and years and years that they were all used to hearing and telling. And so along with a tradition that came from a copy of Deuteronomy that had been found, and with the help of scholars surrounding the priestly class, the priests of the temples, all this was sifted and sorted out and put together. Thus, you'll find two creation stories if you look in Genesis. Thus, you will find things like these three stories, which are common to Exodus and to Numbers, but the material that's around them is different. And those synthesized together give us our understanding of the Old Testament. People of my generation will remember being told in Sunday school that Moses wrote the first five books of the Bible. Well, it was an interesting trick for him to do Deuteronomy, given that he is dead before Deuteronomy is completed. But what it comes to show us, I think, is the fact that there is story that runs through all of the Bible. That we can't look at one little bit and take this piece and this piece, but rather to see it as a whole connection. So let me tie together the reading from Exodus and the reading from the Gospel of John. Most people say to me, why was Jesus so upset about talking to a Samaritan woman? Does it really matter that it's a Samaritan woman that he's talking to? Of course it does, because of the history of the Old Testament. So the northern kingdom, which was exiled first, when they were taken into exile, they became ensconced, shall we say, in the culture of those who had taken them away. And in fact, they intermarried, and in fact, they shared religious understandings. Whereas the southern kingdom from Jerusalem, when they were taken away, they remained separate from the culture and the religion of their captors. And so this is why the Samaritans were outcast by the Jewish people, because they had not stayed true during this time. Now that's a simplified explanation, but it's enough to show the connection. So now we can understand why Jesus, a practicing Jew, would not have been supposed to talk to a Samaritan woman who would have been ostracized. Absolutely the same as the story that we hear in Luke, the parable of the Good Samaritan, in which the Samaritan is the hero, which would have been offensive to many people around. So then we ask the question, Luke has the story of the Good Samaritan, why didn't Mark and Matthew pick up on it? We can have some interesting discussions about that. The story of the Samaritan woman at the well is only in John's gospel. Does this show a development of understanding? But there is a similarity between these two stories. And they are about God's people complaining, exiling, excluding people. And at their center, they are about water, the one thing that we need for life. In Christian understanding, we come to baptism. We are baptized in water, which draws us into God's presence. But to bring it to today, do we complain? Do we still exclude? Do we still exclude on the basis of, well, you must be, because this is your social class or where you come from or who you are? Are we still excluding because we are fearful? And again, are we still complaining to God that we don't have enough, we don't have the right things? We're put out by other people needing things. We haven't changed much. So two different stories from two different eras held separately might not help us to see the big picture. But when we look at the big picture and see how God has acted, reacted, and interacted with us through all of history, God has always loved. God has always been patient with us. Have we always loved and been patient with each other? Amen.
Upon the sand, grace yourself.
Let us pray. Thirsty for God, let us pray now, in the knowledge that God will provide for us in the way that is best. God, whenever the church is dry and parched, may the water of your Spirit well up to refresh and renew, to bring life and strong new growth. God, make us more aware of our thirst for you, so that we come to you ready and eager to receive your living water. God, from the conflicting needs and agendas of the world, we cry for mercy, for a deeper understanding of one another, and a greater desire for cooperation and peace. We pray for sensitivity in handling delicate negotiations and the wisdom which respects and listens. We pray that in all our relationships, you will make us effective channels of your love and forgiveness. Make us awash with your living water so that our homes and places of work, our shopping and leisure centers, our conversations and actions are always in touch with the renewing power of God. We stand alongside all those who are suffering, all those who are fearful in this time of COVID-19, all those who are feeling cornered, all those who are losing hope. We know their suffering is real. We know the fear is real. But this is an opportunity, God, for all of us in your world to come together to save this little blue planet, our island home, to journey together in love and peace. So whether we suffer in body, mind, or spirit, we long for your healing and comfort, your strength for perseverance, and your patience in the dark times. We long for your living Spirit to envelop and sustain us. We pray for those who have come to the end of their earthly life. Have mercy on them. May they, placing their faith in you, the God of life, share in the light and joy of heaven forever. O God, how we need you. Never more than today. We thank you for supplying us and coaxing us forward with such tenderness and affliction. And to conclude our time of prayer, and now as our Savior has taught us, we are bold to pray. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Strength and shield, be thou still.
strength.